Winter storm General Sherman rolls through Atlanta. But the South will plow again. What do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this era of What Do You Know?, it's actor and author BJ Novak. Best known for his role on The Office, Novak reads from his book One More Thing. Plus, we'll meddle around during the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man whose walk is so shoveled you could eat off it, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. So disheveled. Oh, my back, though. Guys, just don't say the word back to me, and I won't think about it. I shouldn't at this age have to. I've been shoveling since I was 7. I won't tell you how old I am now, but that's been a while. I used to shovel the alley for my dad. I shoveled an entire alley so my dad could get in the alley in Milwaukee. And it was if I didn't do it, Dad just kept going down 58th Street. All the way to Burleigh. Had to walk back. Couldn't have that. Oh, that weather, though, huh? That Weather Channel needs to rethink its naming of storms, I think. General Sherman, no name for a winter storm. You know, everybody talks about the Weather Channel, but nobody does anything about it. That's the thing. But, you know, the South, they make big jokes about the South and unable to deal with snow and all that stuff, but we'd have the same reaction up here to a heavy accumulation of grits. What do you do with it? How do you walk on it? What is it? And then, of course, New York City buried by 2 inches of snow. You could hardly see the top 102 floors of the Empire State Building. Ridiculous. Did you see that? Snow smashes New York. It was like they were walking through it in their little Reeboks. But what great stories New Yorkers will have about the dusting of 2014. In Russia, unusually warm weather for the Winter Olympics results in a Speedo trial event at Sochi. In non-weather news that isn't, the girlfriend of French President Hollande. How do you say that in French?
It sounds good to me.
Hollande sits at the kids' table during the White House dinner, where the kids enjoyed hastily rebranded Freedom Fries. Astronomers suspect flowing water on Mars because every time they look at it, they have to pee. That's running water, what I'm saying. Dumb Starbucks spurs a rash of dumb, including dumb Home Depot, dumb Coke Industries, and dumb Republican National Committee. Some crocodiles can climb trees. All crocodiles look like trees. Therefore, some crocodiles climb some crocodiles. I worked that out at great length for a tepid reaction, I might say. Tepid. It is noted. Bob Costas and Wire Fox Terrier are trending. Thank you. And the Fox Terrier had pink eye, too. That's a surprising thing. That's scary, a were-fox terrier with pink eyes. Oh, my God. Ball players report to false spring training. A-Rod, meanwhile, got himself a 100-inch flat screen with 1,000 watts of surround sound, so he's good for the season. After Rand Paul sues Barack Obama, he will sue Mrs. Paul's fish sticks for trademark infringement. The judge rules that Kentucky has to accept same-sex shotgun weddings. That's where both the guys have one. I think. Supposed pictures of the iPhone 6 look a lot like my garage door opener. Barbie's on the cover of Sports Illustrated's swimsuit issue, but she so obviously has had some work done. I mean, what is she, 50, 60? January Obamacare signups go through the roof thanks to New Year's resolution signups. Getting a lot of that. Smattering of bucket list signups. So it's going pretty good now. Leaker Edward Snowden used password 12345 to gain complete access to NSA files. And yet he can't remember his PIN number at the time machine. Yes, Virginia, there is same-sex marriage. In Virginia. You know, if we just started calling it marriage, it'd save a lot of problems, I think. You know, then you wouldn't have to. We'd create others, of course, because it is marriage, no matter what you call it. Joseph A. Banks buys Eddie Bauer, rebrands as Joey Banks. Think about it. Okay, think about it. Pentagon Meals in the Field has come up with a 3-year pizza. If it doesn't come in 3 years, it's absolutely free. Packers interested in openly defensive end, Michael Sam. We could use an openly defensive end, I think. I mean that. The Stradivarius recovered in Milwaukee has a crank on the side, so it may not be the same instrument. My wife didn't appreciate her Valentine's flowers, but the funeral displays were all they had left. I mean, you never seen, they just took everything in the store. And here in Madison, the city says Wednesday's snow had to be shoveled by noon Thursday, but Thursday's snow can wait till you get to it. That's all the news that is, and thank you so much. And now for a What Do You Know editorial. Here is our editorial director, me. This is an opinion piece, but it's very brief. It's 5 things wrong with Sochi 2014. 5 things. Number 1, a lot of these events, biathlon, skeleton, bandy, are clearly made up or something only Russians would do. Buzkashi, goat head polo, surprisingly, is not among them. Although that's more of a summer thing. Around here, shooting a .22 on skis doesn't even happen up north. Number 2, Scandinavian nations, and they know who they are, have a huge and insurmountable advantage because these events are how they commute. Number 3, without even a pink-eyed Bob Costas, none of the results can be considered official and have to go into the record books asterisked. That's hard to put a past tense on, believe me. When it comes to Olympic winter sports, Matt Lauer is a triple klutz. Number 4, who told Olympic officials snowboarding down railings was okay? It's not okay. And anyway, it's the kind of thing you see every day on the rails of the federal building downtown. It's hardly Olympic. And finally, 5 things wrong with Sochi 2014. Despite, or perhaps because of, the games being in Russia, it would have been nice to introduce same-sex free skating pairs once the issue of who lifts is resolved. But only with the proviso that neither of the skaters be Will Ferrell. Thank you so much. That is 5 things wrong with Sochi 2014. Someone had to say it. I'm just sorry it was me. Okay. B.J. Novak. Everybody loves B.J. Novak, you know, from The Office, but he's a good writer. He's got a book out here, I think his first collection. One More Thing, Stories and Other Stories, B.J. Novak. He's on the line with us. He's currently in Los Angeles on a major book tour. And let's just say hello. Hi, B.J., how are you?
I'm great. How are you? Good morning.
I'm pretty good. Thank you. So this is like a big book tour. This is where you're, every day you're in a different place, you don't know where you are kind of thing.
Yeah, I almost got waylaid by the 2 inches of snow in New York, too, that you were talking about.
Yeah, so it was bad.
I got to be careful out there.
What's with those people? Why is 2 inches so impressive to New Yorkers? Are they that short?
Well, you know, I'm from Boston, so yeah. We considered ourselves tough, but the Midwest has that extra coldness and extra defense mechanism in the people who are used to it. So I give you guys the credit there.
No, but it's just measurement. I mean, there wasn't that much snow. You know, we looked at it here, we laughed. You know, they're walking around, and there's a little snow on the ground. It's a normal...
The, I mean, it's all relative. Here in Los Angeles, where I live and work now, if there's a few inches of rain, things are sometimes canceled on account of rain. I'm not even making that up.
No,
so,
that's
you know,
weird.
It's all relative.
That's weird. I once saw water in that river, the so-called cement river.
I know. Crazy things happen out here.
That was really weird.
Yeah.
People didn't know. They just came down and they looked at it. Oh, God. Actually, is it?
Yeah, it's the river is essentially a cement river. There's a lot of strange nature out here.
Yeah, been good for the movies. A lot of scenes shot in that river there.
Yeah, that's true.
When it was not running. So your dad wrote Nancy Reagan's autobiography.
That's right. He's a ghostwriter. He wrote a whole interesting hodgepodge of autobiographies when I was growing up. Nancy Reagan, Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
That's very exciting. Much more exciting to me and my friends for some reason than Nancy Reagan.
Yeah. Were they all pretty much the same autobiography? You just changed the names on them? Or?
Oh, exactly. It was a find and replace, so it got pretty weird.
Lee Iacocca.
Some of the later books, yeah.
Yeah. He didn't do the Nancy Sinatra one. That was, or the Sinatra one.
But you could have changed fewer words, yeah.
Yeah, fewer words. Something stupid. That'd be a good name for anything. And I really enjoy the book a great deal.
Thank you very much.
It's nice. And I was interested in going through the credits, the acknowledgments and stuff. You basically got into humor in general, into writing, because of the people who sat next to you in class, right?
Yeah, that was really what motivated me. And I think probably everyone who goes into comedy, at least, you can answer for yourself, but yeah. I find that the desire to entertain the kid sitting next to you is the greatest thrill, and that's what you become obsessed with. And I was a good student. I mean, I had the fear of God in me from my parents to get good grades and all that, but I really obsessed over what was, you know, the note I pretended I found from the teacher's pocket that I would show to my classmate to try to make them break in class.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you really get obsessed. And so that's why in the acknowledgments I thank the actual kids who sat next to me, because they are the ones that made me do my best work.
Yeah,
in, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth grade.
I agree totally. I work the person to your right, the person to your left, the person ahead.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They got no defense because they have to hear it. But the teacher, if you do it right, teacher doesn't hear it. So they're just screwing. Hopefully they're laughing and you're sitting there.
Yeah, no, there's a whole complex system when you're a kid who is obsessed with getting laughter. That's true.
Yeah. Were you always that kid?
Yeah, I was kind of, I had my own style. I liked I liked the long con, I would say. My friend Hunter and I, who I actually ran into last night at one of my readings, he just bought a ticket, and he's literally one of the people I mentioned by name in the acknowledgments. He and I used to stage crazy things to happen outside of people's homerooms in eighth grade. We would get in fights, and we would go to like costume or I don't even know what kinds of stores. There were all these sort of junky stores in downtown Boston. We'd buy like fake limbs and fake blood and have the limbs jump out of, they fall from trees. Like we put way more effort into these things than I have in anything since.
Yeah.
I was into the long con.
Yeah. Well, it worked out for you though. It was good preparation for everything that followed.
Well, it was really all or nothing when that's your obsession. So I'm really glad it came out right.
Now, did you go to Harvard because it was convenient?
I don't think anyone goes because it's convenient. I went because I got in, and I was not going to say no. What I really wanted to do at Harvard, though, the reason I kind of aspired to it was because of the Harvard Lampoon, which is the only college humor magazine I had ever heard of as a kid. And my father was a big humor fan, and he would bring those home, and they were certainly not what you'd picture as sort of the Harvard life. There was nothing stuffy about the stuff. It was so boldly satirical. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's cool. That'd be cool if everyone thought I was going to Harvard, but I was goofing off all day. And so that's really what made me want to go there. I mean, obviously I had to work hard and get my grades up to even be considered, but what I really wanted was to write for the Harvard Lampoon.
Yeah. Is that really a good reason for going to Harvard, or in retrospect?
Obviously, there's much more to it than that, to the school. There are plenty of people saving lives because they went there.
Yeah.
It's a good school, obviously. But, no, there was something special about, I mean, how many schools have a tradition where people are obsessed with comedy writing? Mm-hmm. You get, usually people are funny and that's enough. But at this place, I got there and everything that I thought was funny, people tore apart. at age 18, 19, they said, oh, this is obvious. You can tell where this piece goes from the title. And I think, well, yeah, I guess. I just thought I was goofing around here. Yeah. So people who were serious about comedy was actually, for a guy obsessed with comedy, was really lucky.
Yeah. So did you learn what was not obvious from that experience?
Yeah. There were rules. Yeah. There's when you get on the Lampoon or when you apply, they give you what's called the comedy piece from hell. And it's every joke that they're sick of, every joke structure. And there's one called the high-low switcheroo,
yeah,
which is, you know, Shakespeare is homeless in an alley eating garbage. You know, we get it. You can't just and I was like, oh, that sounded funny to me. So they really, you
what's
know,
the punchline
they had
on
all
that?
These rules. What's that?
What's the punchline on that one?
No, it was just no, it was one of many things,
oh,
you know.
Yeah, that was the scenario.
You take someone high and low. It wasn't that funny.
No.
No.
Oh, okay. All right, well, that was a good education then. And plus, you had to go to class, though. You had to major in something and all that, too. Did that get in the way?
Did my studies get in the way of my goofing off? That's a great question. Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I liked reading, so
yeah,
I liked that stuff, too.
Yeah. And you were English, Spanish, double major?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which helped, like, probably with this guy who does the translations in the book here, which is one of my favorite pieces, actually.
Oh, thanks very much. Yeah. I had this idea of a guy who is a blockbuster translator.
Yeah.
And I know it doesn't sound funny, but that's what I wanted to write about.
It's like poetry.
That was something on my mind.
It's like poetry.
It's like poetry. That's always shocked me. People say things are like poetry, and that's a compliment, but people don't like poetry. People say this song is like poetry, and you say, "Oh, I got to get that album." People say, "Oh, you have to watch this skating move. It's like poetry." Oh, show me the clip. You have to read this book. It is poetry. Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah. Or taste this. It's like crack. That's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have this. It's crack. Oh, well, no, thank you.
Yeah. Which actually came up on The Office. Did you write that one, by the way?
No, that was Mindy Kaling who wrote that. My character at his most obnoxious was always written by Mindy.
But she really knew she could nail you, huh?
Yeah, she had a very specific interpretation of me, it turns out.
Wonder where she got it from. That's
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, okay. And then the translator and would you care to read any of this stuff? By the way, I don't know. I know you're resting here between gigs and stuff, but
oh no, I'm happy to. Is there something you'd like to hear?
Yes, I'd like to hear any of it, or all of it, actually.
Well, it's, you know.
You know what I like? That comedian there who was who did the Whole Foods routine?
I have to go into an accent that some of your listeners might find offensive, but...
Okay.
Offensive attempt, but I'm happy to try it.
You want to try it?
Sure.
It's pretty cool because this is sort of an example of what you're talking about in terms of comedy.
Yeah. This is a piece about comedy.
Right.
And it's about a comedian. Let me find it here in the book.
Yeah. There's a table of contents in front.
It is my first book, but I think I did know that.
By the way, To the Reader was a very nice touch, I thought.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I always think it's a lie when people dedicate the book to anyone else. I always think, what are you talking about? This is for me. I bought it.
Yeah.
This is.
Yeah. Or To Me.
Vera?
What about To Me? That'd be a good one, too.
Yeah. So I'll read you this selection. This is, I hope it works for your listeners. This is called Angel Echeverria, Comediante Super Popular. You only needed one great bit, and that was all he had. But that was all you needed. He would do crowd work for 20 minutes, loosening the crowd up, throwing in some local references to life in the Bay Area and to Mexican-American life at the turn of the millennium. Basically, just putting everyone at ease and letting them know he was one of them, which he was, and he wasn't going to hassle anybody, which he wasn't. Then he'd start the bit. I have to apologize for this accent I'm about to do. Here we go.
Done.
You ever go into this store, Whole Foods, man? Everything is so expensive. People were already laughing without even noticing that they were. Yes, of course they had been inside a Whole Foods, and yes, of course they had noticed the higher prices. But you know why it's so expensive? It's all up to the food. It's all in the food's mind. It's because of how the food thinks of itself. He pointed to his brain. The food believes in itself, man. It has confidence. It has self-respect. It has self-worth. You just have to look at the label. Soy nuts. He held his expression and waited for the quickest pockets of the crowd to catch on and spread the laughter to the people around them. It usually took between 5 and 5.5 seconds to reach its peak. Soy milk! Now the whole crowd was with him. The food knows what it is, man. It proclaims it. He was killing, and there was no looking back now. You go into Albertsons or Vons, or you know that knockoff Vons, John's? Yes, they knew. You see the shelves? He went into his shopper voice, which was also his cop voice. What's this? Who are you? Now he shrugged his body deep into his shoulders and adopted the voice of a wimpy, moody adolescent boy. Milk. This was it. This was the bit, all right, the one they had paid to see without even knowing what it would be, and it wasn't going to let go anytime soon. Who are you? Repeated the cop shopper. Nuts, I guess, said the same dumb, shy boy through Angel Echeverria's microphone, shyly shuffling his feet one on top of the other. I guess I'm nuts. I don't know if you want to buy me. Angel Echeverria then reclaimed his confident self again, a confidence lifted subtly but perceptibly higher than before by the knowledge coursing through his body that he was now so thoroughly destroying the audience he so loved. You go into Whole Foods? Soy nuts! He pounded his fist proudly on an invisible podium and waited not even for the sake of timing now, but for people to pause and literally replenish their breath so they would be physically able to laugh more. Yo soy sauce! Comprame! He could now slip in and out of Spanish and English, and they wouldn't even notice the transition. It was as if he weren't a comedian anymore, but the voice in their own heads entertaining them at this point. Si, yo tengo identidad, un confidence, un pride. Yo sé quién yo soy. I am worth it. He strutted around the stage, elbows high, being for the crowd a proud bottle of soy sauce with a smile headed skyward as the men and women in the audience enveloped in the comfort of being entertained and the elation of being understood, applauded and cheered as long as they could, minutes on end, to express a gratitude that would last for months. Everyone who saw Angel Echeverria saw him a second time, but no one saw him a third. They all wished he would find a new bit as good as the Whole Foods bit, and so did he. But he had what he had, and he did what he did, and everyone remembered him fondly.
Very nice. Soy milk.
Soy milk. I guess that depends.
Yeah.
I guess that depends very crucially on knowing that soy means I am in Spanish.
Yeah. If you don't know that, you're out of luck in that.
I really apologize to anyone that didn't have that Spanish class that I took.
Yeah.
In eighth grade.
And you majored, though. Come on.
I did. Well, yes, but it doesn't take a major to know that one word.
And by the way, majoring in Spanish, were you thinking about maybe living overseas, or what was the thinking there with the Spanish?
Oh, I thought I'd, you know the end of Shawshank Redemption when he goes by that beach?
Yeah.
I thought maybe I'd like live there and write, you know, brilliant books and screenplays in Mexico. I think I had like a romantic ideal of somehow being Antonio Banderas or something. I would be very handsome just by studying Spanish. I don't think it works like that, it turned out, but I had that image in my head.
Well, that's like the whole Paris thing, right? Being in Paris.
Yeah, right. I keep trying that, too, and I write stories about it. Paris makes no sense to me, but I love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And didn't you do a reading? Did you do a reading in Paris for this book?
Yeah, that was sort of my romantic writer fantasy played out. I did a reading at Shakespeare and Company, which is the English language bookstore that Hemingway and all those people centered their lives around. Uh-huh. When they were in Paris, and I read my stories there and on the banks of the Seine in summer, and it was really, I mean, I had a sense of humor about it that I was living out this writer fantasy, but it was great at the same time.
And did you hang around then for a while and just wait for people to come up to you? You just sit in there every morning with your pad?
Like the writer in the book?
Yeah, like the writer.
Well, no one recognizes me in Paris. They don't have the office there. They have like Le Office or whatever.
Yeah.
So I wasn't famous there.
So it's a different office entirely? Different characters?
Yeah, it's interesting. Some countries I go, you know, they have the American office there, and they all recognize me. And then other places, nothing, because they have, you know, the German office, which I would not want to watch. I think that sounds very Scary.
No, the German office. Definitely scary.
Can you imagine a show called The German Office? Would you? I would call my cable company and just make sure it did not come through. I didn't want to accidentally stumble on this, I'd say.
Yeah. Comcast now will make you watch The German Office because they have the power to do it.
Especially on demand. That's like not a phrase you want to hear.
That is definitely scary. But the best thing in that translator story is I don't want to spoil it, though. It would be spoiling it to say the
outcome. No, it's okay. I think it's okay to say where it ends up going.
Yeah, okay. He does a translation from English into English.
Yes. He goes a little too far, perhaps. He translates.
Because he keeps saying, what can I do next? What can I do now?
Yeah. He translates The Great Gatsby from English to English, and everyone loves it.
They love it. Some people hated it.
Some people hate everything.
Yeah. All right. There's so many good things in here. I like it.
I should mention to anyone who hasn't read the book. They're all the stories we're talking about now are much longer and sort of more intricate than the one I just read. Some of them read much more like vignettes about a character that had always been on my mind or a situation I'd always wanted to explore but didn't fit in the office.
Right.
And then others, like the ones we're talking about now, have been more traditional story length.
And some of them are like three words.
And some are like three words. Yeah. I really wanted a jagged book, I always told my publisher. I did. And they actually, I don't know if they were taking me literally, but you know, some books have those
jagged.
Little jagged edges. They did that for my book.
Yeah.
I think I should have said, like, no, I just meant, tonally. But
yeah. And what I like about you is you have a good ear for the present, which I do not.
Oh, thank you.
The present is totally beyond me now, but for things that are actually sort of the behaviors of our times, you know.
Yeah.
And it's helpful to me because I'm still back in the, I got up to the late 70s, I would say. And it froze there. But things
well,
in here.
Well, it's helpful.
Yeah.
It's helpful to me for a different reason because everyone always yells at me for being on my phone too much, and now I say, but look, I was studying text message dialogue. Now it looks like I made it all part of my work.
And also maybe because, doesn't it seem like, I don't know, you're in your like mid-30s or something like that. Isn't there not enough self-reflective humor about the position you're in? Don't you think?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, of that particular generation, there's a lot of it, bemoaning the fact that they don't have the opportunities that their parents had and all stuff. But there is a lot of self-deprecating humor that we'd like to hear from a generation.
Well, thank you. I think
we need that in a generation, I think, to self-deprecate and lampoon themselves.
Yeah, I think that, these are the people that I'm around and a part of, and I think more than anything, I'm interested in pointing out those little things, like when your phone rings and you promise you won't check it, but then you check it anyway because you know that you'd be thinking about who was on your phone the whole time if you don't even look, and then you look, and then you're distracted, and you would promise that you wouldn't look. And that kind of thing, that's the kind of tangent that I like happening to my characters.
Yes, that's in the
modern day thing. The dark matter, right?
The dark matter. Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. Where actually he could have learned the secret to dark matter, but he was distracted by his phone.
Yes, this guy was convinced that the planetarium tour guide was lying when he said no one knows what dark matter is, kidnaps him, forces him to explain what dark matter is. The guy does know, and then the guy who kidnapped him is too distracted by his phone and he fakes that he's paying attention.
So it's out there.
I feel like that could have happened to me.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. And the thing, the thing about the Willie one. One of these days we have to do something about Willie.
Yeah.
It was very touching, actually, and at the same time it was very funny or something because Willie is the friend we have in college, a bunch of friends, guys who stayed friends since college, but now they're out. And Willie was the guy who was always getting totally drunk and wasted and always sending these weird messages and so forth, and something had to be done about him.
Yeah, so they staged an intervention.
An intervention.
But in the age of Facebook, when everyone lives in different places and your best friends are kind of scattered all around, how do you do that? So they need to figure out how to get everyone in the same place, and they decide to lure him to Las Vegas. It's the only place that he'll agree to go. So they lure him to Las Vegas for a big party, and then his flight gets delayed, and they end up having to sort of stall for time, and they're in a city with all these temptations. And it's really for me about how it's hard. At one point in the story, they say it felt like no one had ever been our age before. It's hard to learn from the templates of experience, from past generations, from the way things have always been done.
Right.
When things seem so weird and different, you know, we know what interventions are like. We know how you take care of a friend, but you don't know how to do it when everyone lives in different cities, and you don't know what warnings to take seriously when they're in the form of Facebook status updates.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting for me because it's something that is very much on my mind. What can you learn from the past when the present is so different?
Yeah. We're always a generation behind, I think.
Yeah, and it feels like it's just accelerating. I mean, I'm already feeling like I don't understand the Snapchat generation that's like 10 years younger than I am.
I know.
I don't get what these pictures are and why I don't, you know. So that, to me, that's a whole form of language that I already feel is accelerating.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, the language that I know.
Yeah, my daughter, when with her boyfriend, the only way they communicated was Snapchat.
So it'd be you should look into that.
Yeah. And it was a German Snapchat, as I recall.
Oh, God.
But no, and that's these little mugging faces, basically, that disappear after 7 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's how they didn't even text each other anymore. They just Snapchatted. And I said, well, what do you get from that? She said, I don't know.
it
conveys some sort of emotion or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like talking. And
it's just saying I'm there or something. I'm still here.
Yeah, people like being connected. I mean, and that's the part of it that is timeless. All these things are, in a way, just reflecting, you know, the way people have always been and will always be. But it's hard to know how much the form is changing, how we should interpret that.
Yeah. I love the thing on closure.
Oh, thanks. That was obviously a darker story, but it was a lot of fun to write.
Because we know there is no such thing as closure. And yet,
right. This
is an attempt to prove that there is.
Yeah, this is sort of an Edgar Allan Poe, sort of modern-day dark fable about a woman who is so desperate for closure that she ends up hiring a sort of a team of masked men to not only dispose of her ex's body, but also they have a technological program that will erase every digital trace of him and send the perfect email to everyone he's in touch with that explains exactly why he's got to be out of touch for a while and really just a way to literally erase someone.
Erase him.
In a modern-day context.
Yeah. That's like
it's a play on, you know, there's no such thing as closure, but what if there were? What would it actually be like?
Yeah. Or maybe there is. I mean, we don't really know.
There
could be closure.
Yeah, maybe in 3 years there'll be a headline. Closure discovered.
Closure discovered, but man too busy with phone to notice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's great fun, a great book, and I know you must be exhausted from this trip. Do you like book tours? It's kind of a strange experience.
I love it. I every time someone says you must be tired, I think, stop getting in my head. I love this.
Oh, I apologize.
Stop telling me I'm not allowed to enjoy this. I walk around and everyone says,
I
love your book and I don't have to write it anymore. It's great.
Yeah.
It's heaven.
You know what? You can't really say anything to you. Did you notice that?
What do you mean?
Just to say anything to you and have it taken. It's going to be reversed. Anything that is said to you, you're going to take it and reverse it.
So there's
no talking to you, BJ, is what I'm saying.
Well, what a great thing to hear after the end of a half-hour conversation.
No, I don't mean that at all. Or maybe I do. I don't know. One more thing, stories and other stories. It's great. Great talking with you. Thanks so much.
Great to talk to you. Truly great. Thank you.
BJ Novak, ladies and gentlemen. Get the book. Buy it. Read it. Tell your friends. One more thing. They're all funny. They're all different. And there are discussion questions at the end, which is helpful in a book. Where are those? Let's see. Discussion questions.
You probably went to like a book circle or something, didn't you, with that book?
Discussion questions.
Yeah.
Did you think the book was funny? Why or why not? Did you flip through the book and read the shortest stories first? The author does that too. What is quantum non-locality? Be concise. Do you think discussion questions can be unfairly leading sometimes? Why? Who are we supposed to be discussing these questions with? Do you normally have discussions in response to a question that was posed by a person not participating in the discussion? Why or why not? Do you think why not is ultimately a better question than why? Why or why not? You gotta love that. Gotta love that. Okay then there.
That's good. Good interview.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Easy to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, hey.
What's new, hey?
Oh, not too much.
Seems like it's been a while, but it's just been,
well,
since Kenosha.
Well, a couple weeks, but before that it was like
a
few
while,
weeks.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's stay in touch.
Yeah, we should.
I'll have to do an intervention or something.
I'll Snapchat you or whatever.
Snapchat?
Snapchat, sorry.
Snapchat.
I guess I just betrayed my...
Yes, your little brownie camera.
Yeah.
I'll Snapchat you.
Boy Scout. Yeah.
We got to show our age every so often, I guess. Okay, and Jeff, good?
Good.
Kids good?
Yes.
Yeah? What's the latest now?
What's our new computer game?
Swimming medal?
I just set them up with Minecraft.
Minecraft,
but his main computer was so old that it wouldn't run it, so they had to do it on
the one I gave you, that computer wouldn't run it?
That one.
No, that was the good
one. Oh.
That had a Celeron. Had a Celeron's chip in there. I don't know why that wouldn't work for some of these higher games.
No, that was the one that worked.
Minecraft, isn't that a violent
game,
though?
It does not appear to be, no.
Does not appear to be? Do you actually watch it? Is it?
I play Minecraft.
You play Minecraft?
Yes.
Nothing wrong with you. Okay. All right, so are you going to play something here then?
Yeah, this is a tune by one of my first piano teachers, Ted Jackson, and it's about his daughter. It's called Sylvia's Habit.
Sounds great.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. My thanks to Jeff for warming the crowd up. Is this still on? Oh, okay. I might have turned it off during him. Rick Hensel, Cumberland, I can green beans. When will it end? I don't know what you're talking. I'm going to save this card, though, because I think it's a cry for help, and I wish I could help you. When will it end? I mean, you've been canning a lot of green beans, or?
We can a lot of green beans.
Rick, just stand up here, because I want to see how tall you really are. Okay. Not too bad. Could be worse.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good.
Where'd you get all these green beans, then?
Well, we bring them from, we start in Illinois and bring them up. And.
Oh, you bring up green beans?
Yeah, we do.
Why you do that? Because you know you're going to have to can them once you get them up here. What can you do with them? They don't keep forever.
It pays the bills.
Oh, so you sell them after you can them?
Well, I don't, but. Yeah, I work for a company that does.
So why do they make you go down and get the beans? Trucks bring beans up here, or a pipeline or something?
No, we got a whole crew of people that goes and gets them and brings them.
So you don't have to go down and get them?
I don't have to go and get them. No.
But you have to can them.
Well, once we get them, then I have to do with them. We can them and freeze them, yeah.
Why would you freeze them once you can them?
No, or freeze them, or can them, one or the other.
Okay. Well, I just freeze them then. It's easier to just throw them outside and you're pretty much
yeah.
done with it. Put them in bags or something. Put them in bags, throw them outside. I mean, you don't have to do this at your home, do you?
No. I do it at work. That's what I do for a living.
What is the plant?
It's the green bean plant in Cumberland, Seneca Foods.
Seneca Foods, green beans, handpicked by Rick Hensel, ladies and gentlemen. Do you manage to get the little things off the end of the green beans? That really bothers me. I mean, I like green beans. If you cook them enough, you can eat them.
That's one of our primary objectives. Yeah, we try really.
How do you get the little things off the end? Do you have people who just pull them off on a line or something?
We have machines that are made to do that.
They don't do it. You need people in there. There should be people in there pulling those little things off. That would drive you nuts. Great job that would be. Like 10 hours of... pulling the things off of beans.
Nobody wants to do that anymore. So, yeah.
What are those things called, anyway?
Snippers.
Snippers?
Yeah. Snips and stems are what we take off the beans. The machine that takes them off is called the snipper.
Well, that's a snipper, and the thing itself is a snip?
Yeah. Once it's taken off the bean, it's called a snip. It's still.
No, but when it's on the bean, what do you call it?
A stem.
But it's not a stem. It's just a little...
Actually, it's an EVM.
A what?
An EVM.
Which is?
Yeah. Extraneous vegetative matter, material.
Thanks, Rick. That's why you're professional in this business. Rick Hensel. Why? Just green beans and we're done? All right, come on, Minecraft, get up here.
My name is Miles, not Minecraft.
Miles Craft?
No, Miles Hensel.
Wait, come here. Oh, you're related to this guy of the beans.
Yes, okay. He's my dad.
I can see a resemblance, actually. And a resemblance in tone.
Okay, then.
That's good, though.
Maybe.
How are you? How old are you these days, Miles?
10.
10 years old. How's that going?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's 10 like these days? What do you do when you're 10? I mean, what? I'm not trying to find out what you're doing, but...
You sleep in your treehouse every summer.
You do?
Yeah.
Still? That's great.
Yes.
That's cool.
It's fun, especially when you have a little dog jumping on your head.
Yeah, that's nice. So 10 is still pretty much 10. If you're Miles, anyway. So here, take these. It's the four disclaimers, and you read them, and I'll get out of your way. And good luck.
The four disclaimers. One, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Two, I've lost the will to go up on the roof and shovel. Three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Miles! Let me hear it. Miles! 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 Thank you, Miles. You can have that. I don't want it.
Okay, thank you.
Good work, man. How about that? Star is born. Rachel was born sometime, 10 years ago, actually. Let's see the hands of those of you who'd like to try them at the What Do You Know quiz, which this is preliminary for. Well, okay, you're the one who raised your hand. And you look pretty smart, I'll say that. How are you?
Good.
And your name is?
Luke.
Hey, Luke, how's it going?
Fairly well.
Fairly well. All right, fairly well, then, if that's what you you just go by the one name, Luke?
Yes.
Okay, cool. That's cool. What are you into these days?
Playing Minecraft.
Minecraft, too?
Yes.
Violent, though, Minecraft? Are there mines in it and things explode?
No, the only explosions are creepers.
Creepers?
Yeah. And TNT.
And TNT?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you have to tell me more about that, but give me one good reason here now, Luke, why you should play this quiz.
Because people say I talk like a 16-year-old.
Oh. All right. I never had that one before. That's a good one. They tell me that, too, though. Have a seat there. Luke, that's right there, Luke. Make yourself to home there. You're entitled to that glass of water there. Absolutely free at no cost to you.
I think only the only person that drank out of it was Bob Costas.
Bob Costas did drink out of that earlier, but... shouldn't be a problem now. So, Luke, now what? So, what grade are you in then?
Sixth.
Sixth grade. How's that going?
Moderately bad.
Moderately bad. What happened when you turned into sixth grade there? Turned for the worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's worse?
Well, yeah, I have to change classes pretty much every hour.
So. Oh, is that the first year where you change classes?
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, that's weird because you no longer have Mrs. Whoever, or Mr. Whomever, or whatever. None of the evers. And you go to a different class, and that's what, because you never know who you're getting then, right?
Well, you do, because it's a cycle.
Same thing every day. Yeah, same thing every day. But I mean, so you're not so happy with that. But that's the way it is now, from now on, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't like it?
No, not very much.
No. Anything we can do about it? Can you just stay in the same class you're in and refuse to go to the next one?
Either that or I could write a petition, but I don't think that would help.
Yeah. You could circulate a petition.
I could.
What?
Gonna get him in trouble.
Where is this? Where is this school?
Stoughton, Wisconsin.
Oh, in Stoughton.
Yeah.
So are you a Stoughton? What do they call them? The Vikings or something?
Yeah, Viking.
The Vikings. Are you a Viking?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Fairly well, even though the Vikings were pretty much raiders and big, strong guys carrying axes.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good.
Yeah. So you like that image or you don't?
I don't.
No, no.
I'd prefer to have the Vikings be wearing glasses and maybe a calculus textbook instead of an axe.
You're like the kind of student that a teacher dreams about. So a teacher would too. That's kind of amazing. So you're right. Okay, calculus. So you like calculus?
I like math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't math? I don't know. I didn't get that far.
Well, calculus is sort of math. It's sort of like an offshoot of math.
It is?
Sort of.
Yeah. But is it fun?
Sort of. Yeah. It's pretty confusing.
Confusing?
Yeah.
Do they teach it in sixth grade?
No.
No. Where are you getting these calculus books then, mister?
My dad has them.
He does?
Yeah.
Is he a math guy?
No, he's a principal at Shabazz.
Oh, he's the principal at Shabazz. I didn't know they had principals there. I thought it was all free-for-all. Well, that's when I was there. It was all up, it was all jump ball pretty much at Shabazz when I was there. Well, that's very cool. Okay, and then, like, what do you like? You do Minecraft for your hobbies? Any other hobbies besides that?
I play the cello.
Oh, you do?
And let's see, what else do I do? Oh, I like Star Trek and...
Cool. You play a cello in the marching band?
I don't think that's really possible because you play a cello sitting down unless you're playing a cello in a wheelchair.
Okay, well, we could work some out, I'm sure, if you want to think about it. We could use a cello out there. The Vikings could use a cello at halftime. I think that would be really cool. Luke, it's great. Very nice to meet you, and nice to have you here. You know how this quiz works. Someone out there plays along with you.
Yes.
And you cooperate on the answers, and you'll tell them all, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens then?
People who want to play the quiz pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay, how long does it take a raindrop falling on Lake Itasca, Minnesota, to reach New Orleans, on average? Okay, that's the question. Let's go to the phones right now. Howard's on the line from Rockford, Illinois. Hey, Howard.
Hey, how are you doing?
How's the screw company down there? Going pretty good yet?
Yeah.
Rockford Screw?
I'm sorry? You know, I think they went out of business a while ago, but they do have a beer festival by that name, so that kind of makes up for it.
The what?
They have a beer festival by that name, even though they're not really manufacturing anything.
There's no
so
more.
That kind of makes up for it.
There is no more Rockford Screw. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, not that I know of.
Probably in Chengdong Province now. Probably Chengdong Screw is what I'm thinking, Howard. Howard, how long does it take a raindrop falling on Lake Itasca, Minnesota, to reach New Orleans? Roughly, number of days.
Say 365.
A whole year, you think it takes it?
Maybe a little less. How about 180? How about half?
How what'd you say last time? 100 days? Close enough. 90 days. We'll take that one.
All right.
I got to ring this bell here. I don't know why it's there. So Howard, what do you do there in Rockford?
I'm a physician.
Listening to the show? Okay,
I'm
good.
Sorry? No, I don't.
What?
I'm sorry?
Where are you now, Howard?
I'm in the car.
You're in the car. Are you driving? You want to pull over or something? Are you on the interstate or what?
Yeah, we're just on our way to Madison, actually.
Oh, yeah? You're not in that horrible cloverleaf in Rockford there, are you?
No, we left that a while back. We're still good.
I hate that thing. It leaves me off a different place every time I take it. Howard, this is Luke. He's your partner here, and you lucked out on
Luke. How are you doing, Luke?
Hello.
Okay.
Hi.
Are you going to pull over or something? Because I'm worried about you. Actually, I think it seems like you're circling on the clover leaf is what I'm feeling.
Yeah, you know, the way I drive, it's probably not going to be any deleterious effect. It's pretty bad anyway.
Well, good. That's good news. And then what categories do we have there, Sarah?
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Howard, you pick the first one. What would you like?
How about science?
Science it is. Science. The newest exoplanet, KO1-314C, has the same mass as the Earth, but it is, however, a gassy, more blue-green, or like Phoenix in August. The newest exoplanet, the one that's the same mass as the Earth, Luke. I don't know why I'm talking to you and not Howard, but is it gassier, full of like gaseous content? Is it more blue-green, or is it like Phoenix in August? That is, say, unbelievably hot.
Yeah. Luke, how are you in science?
Well, if it's the same size or mass.
Yeah, mass.
Mass, it's probably not a gassy planet because it would have to be pretty big. Mm-hmm. And...
Well, it's that same mass. It would be the same mass. It could be very large.
It would.
Same mass, though, if you think about it. Yeah. I don't mean to tell you your business.
Yeah. I was probably leaning towards gaseous, but...
Gaseous is right. Okay, we'll accept that. Gaseous. That would be...
One right and zero wrong, and the categories remaining are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Luke?
Well, I do pay attention in school, so things you should have learned in school.
Okay. Find the circumference of a pizza. Or how would you find the circumference of a pizza if you had one?
It'd be pi times the radius squared. So.
Does that sound right?
Right, Luke?
Is it pi squared? Or 2 pi?
Pi r squared. So if it's a 14-inch pizza, then it 14. Would be 7 pi times squared. Pi.
Pi r squared?
It would be 49 pi. Rather.
It's not pi r squared?
Yeah.
It is.
Is it 2 pi r?
No, it's...
Oh,
the
circumference. Okay,
circumference.
That would be area.
Yeah, that's the area. Oh, let me change it. Find the area of a pizza. Pi r squared? Still going to go with that? That's right. Okay, excellent. Who wants the circumference of a pizza? You want the area of it.
Two right, one wrong for the win. Either current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
Howard?
How about odds and ends?
Odds and ends. Okay. In the long run, are you actually better off in life with a bronze medal as opposed to a silver medal? Winning the bronze?
Bronze.
Ryan, why do you say that, Luke?
Because, you know, people who win silver medals are always like, oh, I could have won first. But people who win bronze medals are like, oh, I won bronze. Did fairly well.
That's exactly right. That is just what they said in the American
Luke, after taking in the Madison Winter Festival this week, indulge in Derry State cheese culture with fine artisanal cheeses and their perfect companions from Fermagination on Madison's Capitol Square. Then ponder expectations of marriage and love along with grief, regret, and hope in The Obituary Writer by Anne Hood. Explore the steamy underside of the sunny 1950s with Jeffrey Frank's, Ike and Dick, Portrait of a Strange Political Marriage, and lighten up reading essays like The Grateful Living, Instructions to the Pallbearers, in Anything Can Happen, Notes on My Inadequate Life and Yours from Roger Rosenblatt. Howard, begin every day the What Do You Know audience way with a cup of Stephen Brew's breakfast blend and while away the afternoon drinking tasty Costa Rican Terrasu from Madison's Stephen Brew coffee. I have no more time to tell you the rest.
What Do You Know returns to the Monona Terrace on February 28th. Ticket and guest information is available at notmuch.com, but stick around. There's plenty of fun coming up in the next hour of What Do You Know. We'll sift through a batch of memos, meet a chuck wagon owner in our town of the week, and pass the torch during another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we head to White River, South Dakota for our Town of the Week. Plus, thanks for the memos and another round of the What Do You Know quiz.
Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's still looking for his winter sport, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so which one of you then is the principal of Shabazz? Huh?
He's not here.
He's not here. Of course not. He's at Shabazz, probably. Principaling. Well, it's Saturday. He's at school?
No,
well, that's where he said he was going, anyhow. I don't know. Well, you know, each week we get actual memos at this time, sent in by actual listeners. That's right. It's time for Thanks for the Memos. And, well, yeah, this is not the memo, but this is one I thought we'd have here. It's on the subject, 2013 Winter Festival Canceled. Dear Upper Arlington Parks and Recreation patron, the 2013 Winter Festival has been canceled tonight due to inclement weather. Okay. So I'll get that in there, because I get a lot of ones like that. Well, this is the one. This is a beauty. Here we go. This is an actual email from an office situation, I believe. It went to all employees in Milwaukee and reads as follows. This may be one of the stranger emails I've had to write and might even make you laugh, but please take it seriously. Someone took Twinkies off a salesperson's desk last week. The Twinkies are part of our annual fire sale and allocated for clients. This is not the first time something like this has happened, but I'm hoping it will be the last. No one has the right to take something off someone's private workplace without asking. The help yourself mentality is concerning. If you are responsible for taking the Twinkies, please let me know. I am prepared to watch the recorded video if necessary. Though the Twinkies can be easily replaced, the lack of respect for company and employee property needs to be addressed. If you're the culprit, own it. My door is open. Thank you so much for that. Serious, and yet it's Twinkies. So where can they send the memos or anything they want to communicate to us?
They basically can send those things to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Okay.
There's also a snail mail address if they want it.
Oh, yeah. That, you get the snail mail address. Who uses that anymore, though?
I don't know. Bill collectors, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Valentine's cards, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, we like those. Those are good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know what? Here's something we usually don't do this time. I'm talking about a town, a village, a burg, a hamlet, ladies and gentlemen. A bump in the road. That's right. It's time for Town of the Week. Here is Sarah Nix.
Originally part of the range of people from the Sioux Nation, the town of White River was founded around 1911 in the Great South Dakota Plains. It's the seat of Millette County. European settlers originally built homes out of sod and tried to eke a farm living out of the wilderness.
Eke.
These days, yeah. The surrounding area is largely ranch land. Since 1914, people have come to White River in the summer for the Frontier Days Rodeo. Since 1914.
Wow.
Since the early days, it's been known as the wildest rodeo in the West, and it includes traditional rodeo events, plus a parade, a wagon train, a 5K run, and an arts festival. Traditional Lakota music and dancing were also originally part of Frontier Days, and there's still a 3-day powwow or wachipi as part of the festival. About 600 people live in White Plains these days. It's 50 miles east of Badlands National Park. Visitors to the White River area often come to hunt white-tailed deer and mule deer, turkey, grouse, and pheasant. The Rosebud Reservation just south of White River is worth a visit, with buffalo tours, Buechel Memorial Lakota Museum, and the Sinta Gleska University Arts Center. For a little local sports, you can check out the White River High School Tigers play, and that is our Town of the Week, White River, South Dakota.
Sounds nice. Thank you, Sarah Nix. Our Town of the Week. And we're calling randomly right now, aren't we, Lyle? Are you? What?
Oh.
What are you pointing at? I can't see what's down there. You're pointing at something down there? What? What does this mean? You can leave if you have to go. You don't have to stay there. Someone else can do your job. We could automate it. What? That's not even real. Why is that? I should worry about a phone that's not even real. Look at it. Not only is this phone obsolete, it's not even, there's no wires. Thing running out of it, that's just for the sound effect. Oh, we have someone on the line. Okay, we have someone on the line from White River, South Dakota. Kevin Green has agreed to join us right now. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm good.
Nice to
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us. I hope we don't catch you at a bad time.
Well, no, no.
No.
We always have a good time.
You always have a good time? But I could be there pretty quick if it's good enough.
Well, you're here right now, so.
Yeah. What you got planned for today? What's today's outlook for you, Kevin? What are you going to be doing?
Well, I'm hoping plenty of business.
Oh, yeah?
That's what I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah. Where are you right now? What is your business?
We're here at the Chuck Wagon Cafe.
Oh, the Chuck Wagon.
In White River, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's the place to go in White River is what I heard.
That's the place to go. You betcha.
Yeah. You got a breakfast special there now, Kevin?
We don't open till 11:30 for noon and supper too. So.
Yeah, you open 11:30 or noon?
11:30.
Or noon.
Well, whenever we feel like it, but no, 11 to 11:30.
Now, if someone is banging on the window at 11:15, would you let them in or not?
Well, I sure would.
You would? Because you probably know them, right? You know everybody.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I know everybody, yeah.
You can't, but then you got to fire up the grill and all that stuff. And you got.
Yeah, well, we usually have that ready, so.
Yeah. Are you the owner of the Chuck Wagon?
Co-owner, yes.
Yeah, who's the other co?
My wife.
Oh, okay. How's that work out for you?
It's all right.
Enough said, Kevin. Oh, I got that. Well, who does the cooking then, Kevin?
We have cooks.
Oh, you have cooks. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
So then what does she do there all day, your wife?
She does the bookwork and helps out, cooks, and whenever we need it.
Yeah.
She runs the place, basically.
Okay.
I'm just here.
Well, what do you do there then, Kevin? You just stand by the door and greet people?
I'm a manager, kind of, too.
But what does that mean?
Well, I'll do just about anything or anything to whatever they need done.
Yeah.
So,
were you a cook yourself originally? Is that how you got interested in the Chuck Wagon?
Yeah, I can cook. Yes, I can.
Yeah. What's your specialty, Kevin?
My specialty?
Yeah.
Oh, hamburger and French fries, of course.
Did you invent that? I've heard of that.
Actually, I make a really good pot of chili, but.
Oh, yeah, do you?
That's what I'm known for here, yeah.
Now, do you make, is that a bean chili, or is that just a meat chili, or is it a hot chili, or what
bean kind? Bean and meat, and I call it sweet and sassy.
Sweet and sassy.
It's a little hot, but it's a little sweet, too. So.
Okay, so it sneaks up on you, either one or the other sneaks up on you.
That's right.
Either the hot or the sassy or the sweet.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds pretty good. Business been good for you? Is it good year?
Oh, it's winter time. It's slow, but
yeah,
it picks up here in a month or two.
Yeah, so. And are you from White River originally, or the area?
Yes, I am. Born and raised here, yep.
Born and raised. Did you hear our Town of the Week description of
Whoop.
What was that?
Oh, that was a customer.
Oh, no. It's too early, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's 11:09. What is he doing?
That's what I said. Somebody knocks on the window, I let him in.
Well, can he wait for a minute? We're doing something. This is a national radio show here. It's good for business.
He can.
Well, he's got a cup of coffee. That's all he needed.
Yeah, no, that's all he ever orders, a cup of coffee. What good is it even bothering with him?
I bought that, too. So.
So anyhow, did you hear the description of White River and you care to add to that or subtract from it? Did you hear that part?
I did, and that pretty well describes White River, yep.
Yeah, yeah. You pretty much have to be a hunter or a fisherman, don't you, to live there?
Rancher.
Or a rancher.
This is ranch country, yep.
Yeah. Were you from a ranch family?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you are, yeah. Is the family still in ranching? Still got a ranch there?
Yes.
That's excellent. But you decided to get out of the ranch business yourself.
No, I'm still in. This is my other job.
Oh, I see. So can you do a ranch and the Chuck Wagon at the same time?
Well, it's a lot of work, but we can do it, yeah.
Yeah, at least you got a good supply for the hamburgers, huh?
That's right.
And you know it's fresh meat when you go to the Chuck Wagon.
Okay.
Because it's still out and back there.
Yeah.
Still out there in the chuck wagon. Well, that's really cool. And so, does your family go back for several generations in terms of ranching there? Or?
I would be third generation here. Yep.
Third generation. Yeah. And do you have kids who are in it too, or?
My kids. Well, yeah, my youngest is involved in ranching too.
It is. Yep. And some of the other ones just escaped though, huh? From the home.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Where'd they escape to?
Oh, they're scattered around the state.
Well, still in South Dakota?
Yep.
Well, that's cool.
All of them.
Aren't you allowed to leave South Dakota if you're a South Dakotan? Are you?
Well, I think you can, but I don't know why anybody would want to.
Especially North Dakota. That's pretty scary territory up there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because I've been to both places. And I guess they say the biggest thing here is the Frontier Days. That's the time we should come there for a visit, you think?
That's right.
Yeah.
Third weekend in August it starts, and yeah, that's our. It's been going on for 100 years or
yeah.
more.
Yeah, so. They said 1914, so it would be exactly 100 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you do any of the events there for the Frontier Days? Do you do any roping or any?
Not anymore. No.
Are you known as a roper, Kevin?
No, not a roper, no.
No, what were you known as?
I wasn't known as much anything.
Can you wrestle a calf?
I can.
If you have to?
I was raised on a ranch, so I can do that stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I always wanted to try it, at least, but I mean, what's the secret to actually wrestling a calf? What do you grab?
Anything but the business end, I guess.
Well, then it's like anything else, I guess.
Then it gets kind of slippery.
Well, Kevin, I know you got to get to work here. We don't want to keep you too much longer here, but we want to once again mention it's the Chuck Wagon in White River, South Dakota. Ask for Kevin, right?
Yeah.
Free cup
or Leanna.
Or Leanna. Free cup of coffee, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Pretty much. We have a little something for you for being so kind to speak with us.
We do, Kevin. We'll be sending you the treasure of America's Dairyland with a delectable selection of cheeses made without artificial growth hormones or genetically modified ingredients from Cedar Grove Cheese, Southern Wisconsin cheesemakers since 1878.
Some cheese from Wisconsin for you, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Kevin Green, ladies and gentlemen. From White River, South Dakota, our time of the week. Well, why don't you do the honors now? Here.
All right.
Give her the microphone. He's got the microphone.
Okay.
Here. And you go out there and find.
We need somebody to throw the dart.
Look at this. This is what a show, huh? What a family operation. John brings her the microphone.
Who wants to throw the dart? It's all very exciting. Do you want to throw the dart?
Probably should take the dart with you.
No. Should I?
Sarah.
No. Yes. Come.
Sarah, take the dart with you.
I don't want to walk down the stairs in high heels with a dart.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. You're right. You're right.
Hey, what's your name?
Boots.
Tilda.
Where are you from?
Baraboo.
How old are you?
10.
You want to throw the dart?
Sure.
Okay. Careful not to hit Michael, okay? Just to throw it anywhere you like.
Throw it at the dart. Board.
Oh, awesome.
What a hit.
What's our town? Covington, Georgia. Thanks.
Covington, Georgia. Thank you, Tilda. Our town of the week for next week.
For heaven's sakes.
A little number from the two boys, John and Jeff.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
I gave him a very nice computer. I made it myself. Celeron. Might have been two things on there, that Celeron. Two, double thing. You know what they have now? They got the two, what do I mean? I think it was a Celeron 2 thing. Yeah. And that you say that would not power your...
No, it did. Your computer.
Why are you doing this? It doesn't sound any better when you do it. You can talk into like your L-shaped hand, but it sounds exactly the same.
Okay. No, your computer is the one that's working right now.
Huh? Now you're doing the little tent, tent over the nose and mouth thing. See, and that I can't hear that either when you do that. Let's talk later. This Minecraft thing is just on your mind. Here's some local news that is. You know, we had some leftover news here. It doesn't fit. And this is actual true stuff here. And it seems like Eau Claire. Oh, no, actually, Oak Creek near Milwaukee there is kind of where it's all happening now. Here for this example, Oak Creek resident says property was damaged after bachelorette party.
Oh, boy.
An Oak Creek resident called police February 4th to report property damage after renting her trailer to a friend for a bachelorette party. Go figure. There is damage in the trailer. According to the Oak Creek police report, resident in the something block of something called, police to report a friend damaged her property at 10:40 a.m. The caller told police she rented the trailer to her friend and her friend's friend. Oh, see, that's the problem. You rent to a friend, you never rent to a friend's friend. Anyway, for a bachelorette party, and said that drinks were spilled that left stains on her carpet.
Oh,
drink rings were left on her piano. Got a piano and a trailer. That's a nice trailer. And one of her beer mugs was missing.
Oh,
and possibly broken. She was advised the damage was a civil matter, not a police matter. That's just Oak Creek, though. And this is also Oak Creek. One savvy resident who refused to be conned realized quickly that the caller was trying to scam her when he changed his story several times during a botched attempt to steal her identity and money. According to the Oak Creek police blog, a woman called police at 4:50 p.m. January 23rd to report she had just received a scam telephone call from a private number. The caller, a man with a Middle Eastern or Indian accent, said he was with Internal Revenue and that she and her husband owed back taxes. When the woman denied owing taxes and questioned the caller further about who he actually was, the caller changed his story, told her he was from Publishers Clearinghouse. Publishers Clearinghouse. And that he was actually calling her to tell her she had just won a Mercedes-Benz and $242,000. Easy mistake to make. The caller later changed the amount she and her husband had allegedly won from Publishers Clearinghouse to $450,000 and told her he had a prize package for her to pick up at a specific location on 11th Avenue in Oak Creek, I presume. When she told him she wasn't going to pick up any packages, the caller said he would send troopers to her house to arrest her. If you win Publishers Clearinghouse, you must accept the $450,000 and the Mercedes, or they will send troopers to your house. When she told the caller to go ahead and send the troopers, he told her to call Publishers Clearinghouse herself to verify what she had just won. That's when the woman decided to end the call and contact police. The officer did trace the private phone number to an address on 11th Avenue, but there was no answer. The officer later reported it appeared that the caller had given her a random address and the scammer could not be found. So just keep your eyes out, ears out for that sort of thing. When they change their story like that, that's when an alarm goes off in mind. And finally, this is from Eau Claire. Eau Claire bowling alley worker rescues boy from ball return machine.
Aww.
It's a feel-good story. A toddler nearly pulled into a ball return machine after wandering down a lane at a Wisconsin bowling alley has been rescued by one of the alley's employees. The Leader Telegram of Eau Claire reported Thursday that employee Andy Gardner was on his way out the door after his shift last weekend when he heard some bowlers shouting. Not unusual in a bowling alley. Everyone had stopped bowling, said bowler Neil Haas, who was bowling for the first time at the alley. Then we saw this little guy on his hands and knees near the pin area. Then the little kid was dragged in the pit. Well, they have to clear the pins. That's automatic. Dragged into the pit where we were watching the pin setter come down. Wow. Gardner saw the boy cross a laser that triggers a mechanized bar that swoops down to clear the pins. The bar pulled the child along with the pins into the ball pit. Gardner ran down the lane at considerable risk to himself because those things are slippery. turned off the machine, saving the child from farm.
Oh, thank you.
He got down there fast, Haas said. He didn't think twice about anything. He just reacted. Okay. Another bowler ran to help, brought the toddler back to his parents. He was crying and didn't want to move, but it didn't look like he'd been hurt.
Where were the parents?
They were at the bar. They were ordering another.
Of course.
It's bowling. What do you think? They're at the lanes? I slid him towards me on his belly a little bit, he added. That's nice. Nice touch. Gardner didn't get the name of the boy or his parents, who thanked him and apologized. So there you have it.
Feel good. Out of there.
Feel good story. Now, the question, of course, is really, could a toddler actually be returned in a ball return? It would take the right toddler. You'd have to be a short toddler and roundish. But it's hard to see you actually, you know.
You'd be able to roll.
Yeah, because you got to go, there must be a tube or something. And you go, it would be that last turn that would get you, I think. That'd be pretty bad. But anyhow, I'm glad that turned out well. A little feel good. Let's go in the audience right now. What do you say?
It sounds like a great idea.
Okay. That's all true news, boy. That's... do you have a 60-second delay? Anyone want to say something really obscene? We'll find out. Something they've been saving up, you know, always wanted to say that. We have a delay, don't we? Okay. Anyone want to try? We all said something really obscene. I don't trust this delay. We've had problems with this before. The guys are a little late reacting sometimes. We haven't. It's a few second delay. I won't tell you how long. Are animal crackers a cracker or a cookie? Who wrote this? Dylan, it's a cartographer. Dylan? Marfarsky? Yeah, what's your last name? Moriarty, I couldn't read that. Really? At your age? Huh? Yeah, okay, all right, fine. Find a different office, man. Unbelievable. Brad Olson from Stoughton. 8th grade math teacher. I gave my wife chocolates from Gail Ambrosius. She gave me tickets to this show. Who got the better deal? Where are they? Where are the old... Oh, they're way in back. I got to go way in back there. Okay. Oh, boy. No more shoveling for this guy. I don't care. Leave it. Give me the ticket. I got 2 tickets so far for not shoveling my walk, and I pay a guy to do it. Pay the guy to pay the tickets. What I should do, so I'm thinking... You have to shovel your own walk?
Yes, I do. I don't have a walk. I live in Stoughton, in the country. So.
That's where my guys come from. Oh, my God, you ruined my car. My whole career. I got nothing to say now. Cars, look what you've done. Oh, there goes your... That was really a good one. So, okay, now you got... What did you give her?
I gave her a box of chocolates from Gail Ambrosius.
Yeah, that's like expensive chocolate.
It's very nice chocolate, yes.
I got Walgreens Best for mine. they were $12.99. I thought that was pretty pricey. And did you appreciate those?
I loved them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are they gone now?
No.
Are you one of those persons who eats a bite out of one and puts it back?
Oh, no.
You're committed.
Yes, I'm going to, one a day, I'm going to savor them.
Yeah. And what did you give him?
The tickets to the show.
Yeah. Okay, and your feeling?
This is nice.
What do those chocolates run about? 20
cents? Yeah, they're up there.
20?
Yeah, I asked if they came with a guarantee.
Yeah. Oh, what sort of guarantee were you expecting?
Well, they said that they would taste each one of them for me, and I said that wasn't the guarantee I was looking for.
Okay, I'm going to leave the Olsons now and to their own devices. Nice to meet you, though.
Nice
thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Very nice. All messed up now, though. Look at I canned green beans. When will it end? No, that we already did that. Oh, this is terrible. How did I survive 30 years of marriage to Horst? Oh, it's right over here. That's gonna be. Is that Horst?
Yes.
Hey, Horst.
Hi.
Is it been a long haul or what?
very long haul, but I want to thank you today. I finally got an answer.
What?
He worked for 8 years in a German office. And he's German.
East German office.
He's,
yes.
No, he is German.
Oh, West German. West German. Yeah. Okay. Did you meet Horst over there in Germany?
Yeah, actually, I was at the university here in Madison. I did a year abroad. I was abroad.
He was your year abroad?
Yeah, I was the broad for him.
I'm glad you said that and not me. You know? That wouldn't have, I would have got letters otherwise. So, yeah, and it, was it love at first, Horst?
Well, second. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What is it about Horst? I mean, but you say now, how did I survive 30 years? So.
Well, you know, you bring him over here to the U.S., and, you know, Germans just kind of mutate.
So they mutate into. I've never done it, so I mean, I don't know. What is it? You bring a German over, and they're good over there, but not so good here?
Well, they transplant okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 30 years ago.
Yeah, now he's a German.
He's a German?
German.
German of the board?
I try to.
Yeah. Well, what are you doing over here all these years, Horst?
Well, right now I'm the manager of our household, meaning I'm looking for work. And otherwise,
What is your field?
Accounting, banking.
Yeah.
And
is that why you left Germany? A little scandal or something?
No. Actually, I worked for an American bank over there, so I never really worked in
it. You work for a German one over here? Just
well,
reparations or something?
Yeah. Well, there aren't a lot of them around here.
No.
Especially not in Alaska.
No, okay. Well, you should have thought about that before you moved, don't you think?
Yeah, well.
Where did you think you were going, Horst? Well, you're in Hartz Mountain or something over there, and you come to Alaska, not that different.
Well, I was so much in love with my wife, I didn't think anymore.
Yeah. I know. Now, you're with this woman all these years. And...
Well, I'm still so much in love with her. Slowly but surely.
And yet she says, how did I survive 30 years with... Is there such a thing as too much love?
I don't know.
I'm sure there is.
Well, you make a very nice couple. And I must say, we have something for you for being such a lovely couple.
We do. We have something to lift your spirits on a cold winter day with delightful wines from the award-winning Olersheim Winery.
For Carrie and Horst. Carrie...
Thank you.
Very lovely couple. 30 years, and they're still really a lovely couple. Why is it we stare down holes in ice? Signed, Don Fish. Come on, you're not Don Fish.
Yes, I am.
From Fishburg?
Reedsburg.
Oh, okay. Come on. Can I get you to stand up or something down just for a second here? Stand up. So you're an ice fisherman, huh?
Well, I try. It's not a... very good endeavor, though. No. You stare down the hole, and you think there's something down there, but you never find them.
That's the story of my life.
And then there's those guys up in Winnebago County that they dig a big hole. Yeah. They use a spear, and I don't understand that whole philosophy.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's a little, maybe a little easier.
Well, you know, they're big guys, though, those big fish. And then you got to pull them up, and you got to...
Oh, you mean the sturgeons?
Yeah. With a name like mine, though, see, I'm a fish. If you take me out, you always come home.
Well, if we pulled the spear something like you, I would take that home and try to revive it or something. I don't know. But it's not about the fishing, is it?
It's more of the liquid libations that you have. Yeah. I think that helps pass the time.
Yeah, because it's much easier to go to a piece of ice at 20 below zero and sit out there on your keg for 8 hours, then they go to a tavern down the block.
Well, it keeps your beer cold and your spirit warm.
Yeah.
One of the,
but it's also the camaraderie, no?
Well, sometimes.
Mainly not. Because a lot of those guys don't even talk to one another, do they?
Well, you got to look at the hole. You got to think about the fish.
What's going to happen in a damn hole? What is the point? What are you looking for? There's...
Well, something's got to be down there. Yeah. I don't know.
What do you use for bait? Maybe you're using the wrong bait.
A hook. You got to put something on the hook?
Yeah.
Oh, that's my problem, I think.
I mean, what's the best you've ever done pulling something out of a hook? What's the best fish?
I probably have got perch, but not very big ones. They're tasty, but they're not big. You know, it's just a challenge.
Well, thanks very much, Don Fish. There you have it. The story behind Don Fish, more or less the entire story. Why are you tinkering around on that piano?
No reason.
Were you just doodling or what?
I was doodling, sorry.
Yeah, okay. Doodling or noodling.
Doodling in my mind from now on.
Yeah, trying to do that. Sounds much the same, actually. Yeah. If you were at an Olympic event, what would it be? I was thinking I could do the skeleton. You know, head first downhill is pretty much my life. I don't know. Where is Denise? You got one, Denise? I don't really have a winner's. Well, I got to go all the way in front now. Because otherwise Denise is going to be hurt. I don't actually have a winter sport or any sport of any season. I'm a man for no seasons.
You ever thought about curling? You know, I think you could be a good curler.
That's really hard. Those things are heavy. I did pitch a couple.
Did you?
Yeah, or whatever they call that. Roll them, pitch. Who does curling here? Anyone curl?
It's a stone. I don't curl, but it's a stone.
It's a stone, but what's the act of stoning it called? Huh?
Sliding?
Well, they sweep in front of it, but then you let her rip or something. I know there's a term for it. I watched the curling. I saw the Americans beat the Japanese. They curl in Japan. That's really cool, I think. I don't know why, but something about that I really like. What? Where? Denise?
Yes.
Denise, ladies. Come on, Denise. Denise, it's been too long. So you have I bet you have an event, don't you?
Actually, I don't.
No,
I don't. I exercise. I run and I walk.
You seem very fit.
I am.
But what do you do in the winter? I noticed. What do you do in the winter?
I run and I walk outside.
You run and you walk?
Yeah, I power walk and I run.
Oh, you power walk.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think I'd like to try walking.
Isn't it kind of embarrassing to power walk?
I don't do it the right way.
Can we see how you do it?
No,
come over here. Would you mind? I just want to see you power walk. I really do. I don't know what it is. It just came over me. Power walk for us.
I'm glad this isn't a TV show.
Power walk. Come on.
I don't know how to do it again.
Well, just how do you do it?
I just walk back.
Well, just see you do it. Denise. Yeah, I'm going to be thinking about that. Denise. Thanks very much. I forget your question, but... Let's talk again sometime. Power walking. Yeah, that's... What? What are you doing? What are you doing here? You're the technical guy, aren't you? What are you doing with the camera? Turn it off! Turn it off! Sorry, Lassa. What is the meaning of life? Cranks. What is the difference between small talk radio and big talk? I don't know. Never made it to big talk radio. Do you have a 6-second delay or back to that? These all got messed up. I really had it all planned out here.
Nice.
What's the worst thing you've ever eaten? Your favorite dog? I like a puggle. Oh, drug. Oh, sorry. Does anyone ever really like eating those little Valentine candy hearts? How did you behave when you had a sub in school? Oh, this is from a sub teacher, substitute teacher, Kathy Brown. Iowa City?
I'm over here.
Kathy Brown? Oh, hello, Kathy Brown, Iowa City.
Yep.
How are you?
Good.
Come on up. Say hello. Do you power walk?
I run.
That's my new line now in a bar. Say, say.
My
is she?
Yeah.
She seems like a good one.
She is.
Yeah. Find you guys hang out together? And
mm-hmm. Yep.
Despite being sister-in-laws?
Despite?
No, sometimes it doesn't work out so good, but it looks like you guys would work out.
We get along.
It was your question there? You're a sub.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
For 22 years I was. Yeah. Now I'm retired.
Yeah.
And I think I got my answer to the question when you were talking to BJ.
Yeah.
You were saying you like to entertain the students around you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I was a regular teacher, though. But they treated me like a sub.
Oh.
They would
I meant when you were
throw things. They locked me in the coat closet one time.
So when you were a student, I bet you were a class clown.
No, I honestly, just the person ahead and to either side. That was my limits. Because otherwise you had to talk loud.
Well, sometimes so. That's enough.
Yeah. Did you ever want to go from sub to being a full-time teacher?
No.
Why? What's the advantage of being a sub? Because you leave, it's like being an uncle, right? You leave the kids at the end of the day.
You don't take your work home with you. And you have a nice schedule. And
Excellent. And where are you from? Iowa City.
Iowa City.
Yeah, mm-hmm. How's life in Iowa City these days?
Fun. Good. We're watching the Hawkeyes play basketball. As a matter of fact...
Oh, do they play basketball? I had no... when did they start that?
Right now.
When did they start that?
They're pretty good, I guess, this year, huh?
Yep. Yep. They're playing as we speak.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's wish them the whatever. Because they are the Hawkeyes, everyone. Thank you very much, Kathy. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz. And let's just do out the rest of this real quick here. See the thing. Are you tired of winter yet? You help me a question to ask? No, I did that one. Okay, that's pretty much everything. Guess it didn't matter that much. Again, a chance for you to play the What Do You Know quiz simply by showing an indication. Thank you so much for stopping me. Yes, come right down here. This way. I'll meet you over here, and we'll find out what you know on the What You Know quiz. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. You are?
Caitlin Fish. You go with that one over there.
Oh, dear. If I would have known that, I might have thought twice about it. Who is that guy to you?
Dad. That's my father, yeah.
You ever go fishing with him, ice fishing?
Ice fishing, no. Regular fishing, yes, but it's been a while.
Caitlin, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
I would be the second generation in this family to be on your show. Yeah, my mom was on the show years and years ago up in
Wausau. The whole fish family. We got the whole string of you on the show. Okay, come on. That's perfect. Yeah, come on, we'll go this way. It's shorter this way. Operevoo. This is the only fish we haven't gotten yet. Haven't caught. Now we got you. It was a bit over here. So do you like to fish now?
I mean, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's a little boring sometimes.
Yeah. What does your dad actually do when he's not fishing?
He designs kitchens and sells cabinetry.
Yeah, cabinetry. Well, that's a pretty good deal. Yeah. And what are you doing these days?
I'm a grad student, law student.
Oh, you are, huh? Mm-hmm. What kind of law are you going to do?
Immigration law.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. It's Caitlin, you said, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Immigration law, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And is that here at the UW?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm in my first year, so I don't know a whole lot yet.
Torts. And the torts?
We're taking that right now, so.
They get the torts out of the way there. What are torts, anyhow, besides things you eat?
Well, that's with an E at the end.
Yeah.
Torts are kind of damages to other people.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. You're going to get through this easily. And that's always first year, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that's one of the required classes.
Is it harder the first year? Is that they try to weed people out right off the bat?
I think that one, and we're also taking property right now. I think those are going to be weeder courses. It'll kind of, I don't know. They're all different.
Yeah.
They're very different conceptually, and the professor always makes a difference, too.
So. Yeah. How hard is law? I mean, I thought about going to law school. I was my fallback position. I could go to law school. Oh, I could always go to law school. You know, I had to say.
I mean, it's always a little terrifying when your grade is, you know, the one test at the end of the semester. And so everything's on that. But, I mean, it's a
really?
Lot of fun.
Really? That's what it comes down to?
For some of my classes, just the one test.
Yeah. And is it, like, impossibly hard?
Well, I mean, it's just you have to make sure you get, like, 4 hours or 8 hours, depending on the professor. And you just... essentially vomit in an organized fashion as much information as you can on the page and hope that some of
it organized
makes sense.
Vomit, is that legal ease?
Yes.
We call them depositions. Okay, well, that's really cool, actually. And then, and you're still looking forward to that? That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's excellent. Well, congratulations and good
Thank
luck. You. Obviously, you don't need it. You'll do well. Because the old man's getting out of the business. He's just going to fish full time now. So someone's got to provide for
him.
Let's face it. Well, Caitlin, you know, some out there plays along with you. And how does that work again there?
People who want to play the quiz, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, which is also 1-800-WHA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW. And they answer this.
WHACK-NOW?
WHACK-NOW, yeah. And answer this qualifying question.
WHACK-NOW? Anyway, do you ever ice fish up there? You're Canada.
I would love
Canadian.
To go ice fishing, actually. I've never been.
How can you be Canadian and not have ice fished?
I don't know. Nobody ever invited me. I don't have a shack of my own. What do they do in there?
Oh, you'd be welcome in anybody's shack, is what I feel.
Yeah. I think it sounds like fun for about 45
minutes. By the way, do you power walk at all?
Occasionally, in the spring, not in the middle of the winter, though.
Okay. I'll wait. Okay, so I ask about qualifying questions.
Yeah, you have to choose one. Somebody's going to call.
All right, here is a question. The question is, why is current events, why is the Loch Ness Monster not in the news? That's the question. If you don't, give us a call here at, what is that number again?
1-800-942-5669.
Or whack now?
Yes, or what no.
I don't know. Okay, Paul's on the line here from Little Rock, Arkansas. Hey, Paul.
How are you?
How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm thankfully starting to defrost.
Where are you right now, Paul?
Well, I'm in the sun. I'm over by Pinnacle Mountain, which is a big mountain we like to hike here in Little Rock.
Yeah. How's the reception there? Phone reception, pretty good?
It's very good. Is it good? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you cut off once in a while. Well, that's good. What are you doing up there doing, Paul?
I'm going to go hike.
You're just going to walk around? I never understood the concept of a hike, to tell you the truth. And it leaves me cold.
I think in Australia it's called a walkabout. Here we just kind of walk in a circle until we get lost in the town again.
What's the point of it, though? Are you trying to get somewhere?
it's just exercise. I'm trying to get rid of my protruding midsection.
Oh, no, you can't. That's part of your charm, Paul, and all of ours.
Well, I'll tell my wife.
Paul, why is the Loch Ness Monster not in the news?
Well, is it because the Loch Ness Monster is belly up or is dead? Speaking of bellies.
Can we accept that? Or?
Well, I don't know what the answer is, so I can't tell you whether it's acceptable or not.
I know, that's what I like about you.
Scotland,
that's one of the things I like.
My mother's from Scotland, and I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, so.
Okay, that's good enough for me. Yeah, they don't know. There have been no sightings of the Loch Ness Monster, so it may very well be dead. This is the first year in 90 years there have been no sightings of the Loch Ness Monster. So we are worried, so we can accept your answer.
Get thee to the Ness. Keep an eye out.
Yeah. To the lock. Paul, this is Caitlin.
Hey, Paul.
Hello, Caitlin.
She's in law school now, so you got a good partner here.
Is that Kaitlyn?
Caitlyn. Oh. The original Irish Gaelic way to spell it.
That's the way to do it. Go with that. Okay. Paul, what field are you in when you're not in the field?
I'm outstanding in my field.
You are?
Yeah.
Literally.
I'm in the sales profession. I work primarily with car dealers and motorcycle dealers and RV dealers and try to teach them how to sell more and make more money.
Oh, yeah. I got to talk to you.
Yeah.
I could use some sales technique.
Call me sometime.
Paul, Caitlin, two of you work together as a team. We have various categories, have we not, Sarah?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Paul, you take the first one. What would you like?
Well, let's say things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention.
Let's say that. Okay, this is things you should have learned in Hebrew school. Subcategory. Not for everyone. Would the patriarch Abraham have walked a mile for a camel?
Would the patriarch Abraham have walked a mile for a camel?
I guess what I'm saying is, were there actually camels in the Middle East at the time of Abraham? They certainly appear in the Bible. I want to know, in fact, if there were camels at the time of the patriarch Abraham. Old Testament.
Hey, Caitlin, I would say...
I don't know. I mean, yeah. It seems like a trick question, because if they wrote about them, you would think they were there.
Yeah, but why would he ask it then? Is that what you think?
Well, I think he was a philosophical kind of person, always asking a lot of questions.
Could be.
I don't know. What are your thoughts, Paul?
Doesn't strike me that way, though.
Yeah, it just seems a little... I think it's a trick question in the lack of obvious way. I'd say my initial thought would be yes, but I would say no. He would not walk a mile. Because if he had a camel, why would he walk a mile? He would just get on the camel.
Okay.
That's also a valid point.
But you have to factor in the humorous phraseology, though. in the whole question, too.
Oh, phraseology. I wasn't considering phraseology.
No. So you're saying
so, yes,
no?
Yes, he would walk a mile. Yes, well.
You're saying no, that that there were, in fact, no camels around in the time of Abraham the patriarch?
Yes.
Yes, you're saying no, or yes, you're saying yes?
Yes, I'm saying no.
Are you agreeing, Paul?
Michael, if you agree, then I agree.
I'm not part of this, Paul.
Oh.
So you're saying
yes,
no, there were no camels?
Right.
That's right. That's absolutely right. There were no camels. They made it all up. Makes you wonder how much of it they made up. All right, so...
That is one right and zero wrong.
Okay. And what's left there,
the
Sarah?
Categories left are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Caitlin?
Let's do odds and ends.
Odds and ends could be anything. Which produces more milk, cows with sons or cows with daughters? This assuming you've just if you're a cow and you just had this son or daughter, and we want to know which.
I would say cows with daughters.
Oh, why would you say that, Paul?
Because it just was the first answer came to my mind.
I can see why you're in sales. Yes.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yes, very much. 1,000 pounds more milk. If you have a daughter, assuming you're a cow, that's over 2 gestation lactation periods.
Mysterious.
Very interesting.
The world is an amazing place.
Yeah, that is 2 right and 0 wrong.
I don't think there were cows in the Old Testament either, were there?
I don't remember any. Bulls, there were bulls, right?
Bulls, yeah.
Therefore, that would imply that there
may have
been cows.
Good point, thank you.
Deduction. Okay, so the categories remaining are current events.
Because you couldn't have bulls if you didn't have cows.
Exactly.
Vice versa.
I would say you move on.
You win that round, Paul, but you get nothing for it.
Current events, people, places, or science?
Okay, Paul.
Say that again. Persons,
say that again.
Current events, people, places, or science.
Again.
Let's go current events.
You want
current
it again, Paul?
500, Michael. Yes.
Current events.
Yes.
Okay. A sinkhole with good taste in Kentucky swallowed 8 what? 8
Corvettes.
What?
Corvettes. Yeah.
Corvettes. Oh, that was too easy. Okay. Holy cow! That's it.
Holy cow,
are they done, though?
Well, that's up to them. They could be done and get some prizes, or they could risk it all on getting one more question, answer right, and then they could win the mother load.
So that's it. Get it wrong, they lose everything, though, right?
This is before noon on a Saturday. Big choice to make.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done.
Caitlin, I've always listened to the show, and I've always wanted the kielbasa of prizes.
Giant kielbasa. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
Cornucopia, yeah. Kielbasa. Whatever you want to call it. It's mythical.
Well, what do you say, Caitlin?
Doesn't matter.
I say we go for it. We've made a pretty good team so far.
They're going for it. Let us encourage them. As the patriarch Abraham once said. Yes, so what's left then?
People, places, or science?
Caitlin?
Let's do...
People kind of survey results, places kind of places.
Let's do...
Science kind of science.
Let's do science.
Science it is, then. A shark will always approach you from one of the following directions. Is it starboard? Starboard, excuse me. Port or keister?
Business end.
The business end, but they're slippery, so you got to be careful.
Okay, so starboard is the front, port is the rear, is that right?
Huh?
No.
No, one's the right, one's the left, and one's the back. Port is left, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sailor, you got a sailor
out there.
I'm
not sure that sharks are necessarily political, so I wouldn't think they would come from the left or the right.
Yeah.
Keister is non-political.
They just come from the terrifying direction, whichever one that is.
Yeah.
That's behind you, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you think the keister? Come.
I'd say go with that.
That's probably what they see first thing in the water there. Keister with legs.
Is below an option?
Good point. I object.
Overruled. I'm thinking keister, Caitlin. I don't know, because left or right would just seem kind of arbitrary.
Keister?
I think
he says keister.
Because be
Because otherwise, like, if they're already on the left, then they'd have to swim around to come to
look
the right.
at you. Because
yeah.
it might be someone they know, and they, like Will Ferrell. You know, yeah. it could be Will Ferrell or something.
Yeah, I say behind the Keister.
Keister. Keister, Paul?
Keister.
Happy Keister, yes.
Caitlin, you've won the quintessential What Do You Know prize, a pair of fantastically plastic flamingos arrayed in badger red and white from Pink Ink. And then think ahead to spring, reading Marcia Carmichael's Putting Down Roots, Gardening Insights from Wisconsin's Early Settlers from the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. Look forward to keeping your libation cold on some hot day long in the future with a can cooler from Frank's Diner in Kenosha. And delight in the simple gifts of an Appalachian spring with the CD What Do You Know About Copeland with 100% fun liner notes by Michael Feldman on Nimbus Records. Paul, you've won a bright and shiny gem for your coin collection, the exclusive What Do You Know Silver Jubilee Anniversary Quarter, featuring the fabulous Feldmingo and our founding father, Feldman. Then appreciate the return of our six-legged friends with a colorful Yipes bug pin from the Joy Fritz studio. Keep the sun from your eyes wearing a baseball cap from QP Racine. Fight cabin fever with the Louise Malls Cryptogram a Day from Sterling Publishing. And keep hope alive playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including questions, contestants, and the eternally renewable Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Caitlin, thanks for playing. Good luck in all you pursue.
Thank
Paul.
You, Michael. You make my Saturday.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. And hang on. We'll make sure you get an address from you. Thanks for playing.
Hey, Peoria, What Do You Know fans, Michael and the gang will be in your neck of the woods on Saturday, March 22nd. Come to the Five Points Theater in Washington, Illinois to be part of the show.
Peoria.
Tickets for this special broadcast are available at notmuch.com.
Big Al's.
Bringing the whole gang here to Monona Terrace for a live What Do You Know broadcast. Just go to notmuch.com for special group pricing and get your tickets today. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
Thanks for coming, you guys. Thanks for listening at home there. Join us again next week, right here on What Do You Know? Boys in the Band.
PRI, Public Radio International.